Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back at 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. When you get there, it's free. It comes every week by email. I think you'll like it. If you don't, it's easier to unsubscribe than it is to subscribe. You actually do it yourself. We have the technology that allows you to do a little one-click thing and take your name right off of our list, which we do a little bit. I mean, which happens sometimes. People say they want to go somewhere else. They do something else, and that happens. But mostly, people are just subscribing. And we want to thank you, all of you who have been with me now in our fifth year. That many of you have been here, been on our subscriber list for that long, and all the new folks who've joined us. We thank you for that too. Jonathan Zook is our guest. He's our good friend and president of the Association for Competitive Technology. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. But I think I want my own theme music now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to send you something to use as part of my introduction, I think.
Well, now, you know, we actually offer that capability, but there is a charge.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, there is a fee. I mean, you know, if you want to get the generic stuff, you know, we don't charge any extra for that. But you know, there's no appearance fee for you to be here today. But but if you want your own music, that's a little production effort that we have to make, so I'll have to charge you a fee for that.
Well, we'll work it out.
Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah, send it on over here. Now, which song are you talking? Are you thinking Pee Wee Herman's theme song or what?
I don't know. Maybe Superman theme.
Oh, yeah.
Or
yeah, I could see that. I could see that at least in your mind. Jonathan, the last time you were here, you had just gotten back from Brussels, I think.
That's
where
right.
Where you had been testifying in the EU court, the European Union
court. Apparently my testimony fell on deaf ears.
I was going to say, I wonder if maybe, you know, maybe they, somebody, some of these folks we're going to talk about today might say, please don't go back, Jonathan. But but anyway, you were over there testifying on behalf of Microsoft, because Microsoft was being sued by the European Union, wasn't it?
They were, exactly. I mean, they don't even call it that. They say investigated. It's
right.
It's interesting. Instead of judges, you just have, you know, bureaucrats that look into something and then make a ruling like a judge would here.
Right. Yeah. And we're going to lead up to what happened, folks. If some of you may know, some of you may not know. But before we do, tell us the case. What's the case all about?
Well, depending on my mood, there's a couple of different answers to that question. But
this is the family show too, by the way.
This early in the morning?
Yeah.
No, the case was about two different types of technology, and was kind of brought at the behest of two American technology companies. One was Sun Microsystems, and the other was Real Networks. And Sun was very interested in getting from Microsoft the communications protocols. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it, but the information necessary for two Windows servers to communicate with each other, because Sun was very interested in producing almost a generic drug version of a Windows server that you could be dropped in transparently into a Windows network. And then Real Networks was just upset about the fact that there's a media player in Windows, and they thought that was undermining their market share.
Having played out their court case in the U.S., they moved on to new territory.
That's exactly right. Both of those claims were thrown out very early here in the United States court system. And there were other things that Microsoft was found liable for, but not those things.
Right.
So they were essentially doing, you know, international forum shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And
like
went
shopping
to Europe with this case. I'm sorry?
Sort of like doctor shopping.
Yeah, exactly. Judge shopping. It happens all the time here, but they've taken it on the road. So basically, the principal investigation was whether Microsoft was withholding too much information about how the servers talk to each other, and whether or not the presence of a media player in Windows was anti-competitive. If it made it too hard for other media players to compete.
The old bundling argument.
That's exactly right, it's sort of in technical terms called attempted monopolization. In other words, using a monopoly in one market to gain a monopoly in another market. And that case was thrown out in the case of the browser here.
Right.
And
Jonathan,
it really should have been thrown out in Europe.
Folks, stay with us on this, because there's international intrigue, and there's certainly a connection between this ruling and mine and your small business, especially those of you who are listening in Europe on the Internet. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Jonathan Zook, the President of the Association for Competitive Technology, and his job is to help to advocate for small technology companies, small businesses who are part of the technology industry, of which I am one. I mean, I don't create technology maybe in the classic sense that you think of, but we certainly create products with technology, and we market those products to the marketplace, and so he represents me for one thing, Jonathan, as you know, and more these days, it's the definition of what a technology company is becoming much broader, isn't it?
Oh, it sure is. I mean, because it just really has to do with the extent to which technology is an important part of you doing your business, and companies that do a lot of what they do on the web, are affected by, laws that affect e-commerce companies and things like that. So there's definitely a convergence that's taking place.
Well, and the other thing, Jonathan, is most people use some kind of Microsoft technology, something that Microsoft had something to do with. They either use the Windows operating system, the Internet Explorer browser, the player, Works, Word, Excel. You know, sometime during the day, if you use computers, you touch something that Microsoft has contributed to, don't you?
That's for sure. I mean, they're a popular product. That's obviously what their problem stems from
right now.
They seem, ubiquitous. And the reality is that it's a kind of a special industry where people have a lot more mobility in the marketplace than you might have in other instances, because the barriers to entry are much lower and the switching costs for a user much smaller, which is why we're seeing this incredible popularity of Linux and other technologies. And in the media player market, it's very competitive. I mean, if you want to watch a Star Wars trailer, you needed to get Apple QuickTime. If you wanted to listen to Major League Baseball, you had to get a real network player. Mm-hmm. So most people have multiple players on their desktop.
Right. Yeah, I do. Let's get back to the court case. So Microsoft was hauled before this European Union group of investigators, headed by a guy named Mario Monti, right?
That's right.
And they heard testimony, and this went on for mercifully not as long as the U.S. court case went, but it lasted for a few months, I guess. Right.
About 5 years.
Oh, it did? Was it that long?
Investigation. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize.
On and off. Part of the problem is that. They kept re-releasing their complaint. It's kind of funny. I mean, the way the case worked here is that the Department of Justice filed a complaint and then spent a number of years, pursuing that complaint. Well, they kept refining theirs because they kept making mistakes in it, we've actually made filings in the past. So the one that actually just got adjudicated in October was the third one that they had dropped.
Right.
So they're just like, oh, well, we didn't mean that, but here, this is the case, you know, and that's what they did a couple of times over there. It's a completely different process. It's a little bit maddening.
But what actually wound up happening? Last week there was a ruling. Tell us what happened.
Well, there were essentially three components to that ruling. One was a fairly unprecedented fine of about $613 million. And then there was a requirement that Microsoft make available a version of Windows, make available to computer manufacturers a version of Windows that didn't include any multimedia functionality. And the third was that they would have to reveal a bunch of internal information for server-to-server communication so that Sun could more easily develop a clone of Windows, basically.
So basically, in terms of Sun's, from Sun's perspective, this would be like sort of like me suing Coca-Cola and winning, and the court saying, Coca-Cola, you've got to give Blasting Game 75% of your of the formula for Coca-Cola.
Yeah, it's a little bit like that. I mean, it's a it's a little bit hard to analogize, but it's because there's this concept called interoperability, which is, you know, you need to make enough information available about your tools, your server, so that other servers can communicate with it and ask it to do stuff. But there's a different level of interoperability that says, I want enough information about your server that I can clone all of its features so that it can exist on the network and look like it's one of your servers, right?
Yeah.
And that's, I would argue that crosses the line from interoperability into just straight cloning.
Jonathan, you were over there yourself. Did you see any kind of an anti-American sentiment behind this ruling? The way we've seen it in terms of the, you know, some of the UN stuff and with the issue
of
terrorism.
I mean, it's obviously difficult to assess, but I think that there is a level of resentment of Microsoft's success because it's somewhat indicative of America's success.
Right.
I mean, we have a very right now where we
America's, have for America's economic strength, aren't they?
Right, and a lot of America's economic strength right today actually is in the area of intellectual property.
Right, and a lot of
the folks that consider it the new form of imperialism.
Right, and a lot of it is a lot of other folks' wealth has happened because of the leveraging of Microsoft products. When we come back, I'm going to ask Jonathan, what would happen if Microsoft just took their toys and went home from Europe? They just pulled out of Europe, didn't let them have any products. Right after these messages, he'll give us that answer. 10 tips, they will.
Let me tell you, I got some news.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasting Game, the Small Business Advocate. Don't want to waste a second of our time with our good friend Jonathan Zook, one of the smartest guys I know and president of the Association for Competitive Technology. Jonathan, tell us about ACT.
Well, ACT is a IT industry trade association in Washington, D.C., that was set up by small business owners to get themselves a little bit better representation in Washington. And so basically we advocate on behalf of small business, small IT businesses in Washington.
And give us the website, please.
Yes, it's www.actonline.org, actonline.org.
And folks, just because you don't crank out computers, just because you don't box and sell software, doesn't mean you're not an IT company. Many, many of you who don't know it are IT companies. I'm an IT company. And in my little teeny tiny little company, we're an IT company because we take software, we take technology, and we create products with it. And we promote our brands based on that technology. And so, I 5 years ago, I didn't think I was a technology company until I started thinking about it. So that's the reason why the things that Jonathan and I are talking about are important, because anything that affects any technology player in the marketplace has the potential to affect us in our small business, the availability of resources to you and me. And certainly anything that affects Microsoft, whether you like Microsoft or not, You know, a lot of people don't like Microsoft, Jonathan, but they still use their operating system. I mean, the attorneys for the government in US v. Microsoft of a couple of years ago were banging out their positions on PCs with Microsoft software.
They were using WordPerfect, though.
yeah, but I bet they were using the operating system, though. But listen, Jonathan, sure. Here's my question. I was imagining, you know, in my Technicolor dreams, I was saying, okay, here I am sitting around the table with Ballmer and with Gates and the other guys up there in Microsoft, and they're saying, okay, Jim, what would you do about this ruling in Europe? And I said, well, do we know what it would cost us if we just pulled out of Europe? If we just said, okay, you know, it's going to cost us $613 million to pay this fine. How much would it cost us if we just pulled out of Europe? Now, I know that's probably a big number, but you know, wouldn't that be fun to just see the faces of the Europeans if they found out all of a sudden they couldn't have any Microsoft products?
Well,
I
guarantee it came up.
Yeah.
You know, and that someone suggested it half jokingly and probably half not jokingly, because there's certainly a lot of frustrated people in Redmond right now. But
the headquarters city of Microsoft.
That's right, exactly.
Redmond, Seattle,
near Seattle, Washington. I'm sure it came up, and they just have to look at what kind of a precedent that sets, and what the fallout would be on their image and things like that. But it
would cost them more than $613 million too.
It would cost them more than $613 million. That's for sure. I mean, it would be up to Europe to impose trade sanctions, because what you could have then essentially is Europeans buying the software from U.S. companies, right?
Yeah.
Buying,
mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, they might not give it up entirely. They might try to import it, and then, you know, how would their ruling affect the import of software and things like that? I mean, the reason that they can affect it now is because Microsoft is actually also a European company.
We got a minute and a half or so. Give us an idea about how this could affect me and you using Microsoft products.
Well, I mean, the biggest answer is that we could start to really see Microsoft taking a harder look at what it can invest in R&D if, you know, things that they try to build, features they try to build in their products can be arbitrarily, you know, removed. I mean, for the average consumer in Europe, you have a situation where you get the car home and don't find out until you get home that this one doesn't have a CD player in it.
Uh-huh.
And that's not really a good way to do business either. I mean, what they've done is they've put the power in the hands of computer manufacturers, not users, to decide whether or not Microsoft Media Technology is involved in the operating system. And they're essentially subject to being bribed by one of Microsoft's competitors to say, hey, remove the Microsoft technology and put mine in instead. And they're not the same. I mean, today, they already, under the U.S. ruling, have the ability to hide the Microsoft technology and install the competitor's technology, but they're not removing the technology altogether. You can bring it back as a customer, and then software developers that build multimedia applications, you know, like distance medicine or distance learning applications, can leverage that technology, and they can't with this ruling.
The problem, folks, I see with this ruling is kind of what John was alluding to, and that's what's going to be available to us in the future. Is this going to have an impact on what people develop for the future? Jonathan Zook, thanks for being here. Good job today.
My pleasure.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame. Don't go away. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.